allow herself to be on the air after they removed Valerie and Bernard. And Pacifica had every right to remove Valerie and Bernard.
But she was on the air even after that occurred.
Fighting tooth and nail, and she didn't accept it, and she created false issues in order to feed her litigious attitude towards the station and towards the individuals here. She had a litigious attitude. She had a chip on her shoulder. She was looking to create a condition for a lawsuit. And I'll tell you this, and I'll say this to Amy and to all your friends who are listening, Amy, your entire approach to Utrice Lead was dishonest. Your lie that there was some sort of fear that you had to come up into this station was a lie from day one. It was created together, and my belief, in concert with Juan Gonzalez, and I think his employers at the Daily News should take note that he lied in order to participate in this litigation against Pacifica, and that I think that it's a mark that Amy will never shed from her program, and it probably puts an end to her career because I don't think she will ever be believed again because of the lies she told about Valerie Van Nistelrooy. Personally, I'll tell you this. In my opinion, my personal opinion, at 6:02 in the morning when I should be off the air, Amy Goodman's career is over, and she will never be heard on this air again. That is my opinion. And she will never be heard anywhere else. Her TV thing is just going to flutter off to nothing. And she will never be believed, taken credit, and she will never have credibility again. And that is my opinion.
I certainly appreciate your honesty.
And she did it to herself. She shot herself in the foot.
Yeah, one of the few people who would even discuss these things.
Right, well, because I don't, nobody wants, they're afraid of her. Amy is a litigious person. She's extremely aggressive, and she attacks people, and her friends, like Dennis Moynihan, who's a vicious, violent scum, attacks people. Violently and viciously. Howie Glattner is like a mental midget with like a tiny little brain from hanging out in the Bronx and doing too many drugs. And, you know, this is, people are afraid of having these people harass them. But guess what? I'm not afraid. I'll say what I think. I'm not afraid.
I certainly appreciate it. This is a good way to segue into Marjorie Moore now, isn't it?
It is. And Marjorie's sitting right here. Clayton Riley's sitting right here. Hey, Clayton.
You
caught a little bit of that, what I'm talking about. I won't ask you to talk about it.
Listen.
You caught a little bit of it.
My first word is hallelujah. Absolutely. You've really set a tone for the morning, Paul, and the things that you said have needed to be said for quite a long time.
But why was everybody on the air reluctant to say? Because people need to know the truth.
If I may, caller, I think for many of us, you know, people talk about the dirty laundry rule, the gag rule, and everything. Many people here chose not to discuss the internal business of the station on the air because that's not what our radio station is for. When you consider the issues that have to be discussed here, the points of view that have to be aired here, the positions that are taken by broadcasters here on the major issues of both our city and the rest of the world, it was inappropriate to spend all this time talking about the internal politics and management initiatives of the radio station.
We have to leave it at that. I must end my program and pass it on to the next program. Thank you, caller. We'll be back next week. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks, Joni. Thanks, Clayton. Thanks, Marjorie, for giving us these few extra minutes. And stay tuned for a great show. There's your mic there.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi.
I feel stupid saying good morning. It's sunrise. Well, actually, it is. It is, and I feel real good this morning. So we're going to talk about that, too.
Right.
And we're going to ask Paul to stay with us and Joni if she'd like to, and Clayton, and we'll all be here for sunrise. I'm going to get us going, though, folks. I know there are a few of you like to get up kind of easy, and we're just going to do a couple of things, and then we'll get right back into our discussion. So you get up. It's 6:04. It's nice out, a light little sprinkle of rain. It's lovely out. And we'll see you back here in a minute.
WBAI needs your support. If you appreciate this radio station, please help keep it thriving. If you have access to the internet, you can show your support online 24 hours a day at www.wbai.org. If you listen, then please do your part to keep WBAI strong. WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Radio for a changing world.
It's 6:06. I hope you're moving around. And we're going to stay. And you know what? We're going to call this Open Phones Thursday. Or Thursday Open Phones, folks. And I want to just put in a little special note that those of you that are new to this station, those of you who are returning, and you have returned to this station, we know you have, I want you to pay special attention this morning, because I feel a certain, and I'm sure everyone here does, we feel a real commitment to those of you who were able to, you know, with nickels and dimes and dollars and credit cards that really we shouldn't be using but we use, really extended yourselves to bring in over $1 million to support the work that we've been doing here for the past year. And we feel a real commitment to you. And we want you to stick by us and stand by and ask questions that you have. And we're going to be as forthright and as honest with you as we can, I think, as we've always been. And things can be complicated. This is Alice in Wonderland time. Up is down, down is up, left is right, right is left. And it's been like that for a year. So we're gonna put things maybe right side up for a change. And I'm feeling good this morning, and I want you to take your cue from that. I feel good this morning. So get up, and here's something to help you do it.
Thank you.
All right, folks. Are you moving around? Now, that was the sounds of blackness. I know you're moving around to that. And I have another piece by them that's equally as stimulating. Good morning, good morning. I'm Marjorie Moore, and this is Sunrise at 6:12 a.m. on this drizzly Thursday morning here on WBAI 99.5 FM, your Pacifica station in the heart of New York City, in your heart. I'm here with T-Dub at the controls. Good morning, T-Dub. Paul DiRienzo from Let Him Talk. I call his show now Let Him Have It. And Paul's going to stick around with us. And Clayton Riley is co-hosting with me this morning, and I'm real happy to have him coming. Good morning, Clayton.
Good morning.
All right. Yeah. And Joni Marie Moosey is leaving us, unfortunately. But thank you for your show this morning. You can turn everyone's mic on. Yeah. We're going to...
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. All right. And we want to, this morning, going to do open phones with you at 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. Is that right? That's right.
You
That's
got
the
it.
Right number.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have that number. I just want to give you we're going to give you the things that we do know. There's a lot that we don't know. Yes, Utrecht Lee did resign. It was effective, I think it was yesterday. It was effective. And what a loss to the Pacifica Foundation. What a loss in that position. And, oh my goodness, this is a. I guess I could say more or less, I'm a proud nutrition to the extent that I've known Utrecht for a long, long time, and I've known the ethical work that she has done in the African community, and I know that her word is her bond. I know that she's loyal and committed, brilliant, brilliant woman, and Clayton, to me, it just seems like somehow the society manages to take out the best and the brightest.
Well, you know, what is most disturbing about that as an announcement this morning is the place it now occupies in a history here at the station. And people have avoided discussing this for a long time, and I don't think it ought to be avoided. The people we're talking about have occupied positions of authority and power and decision-making at the station have been, for some years, black women. Going back to Pat Scott, did not know her, never met her. If she walked in now, I wouldn't know who she was. Going on to Mary Frances Berry, who's under siege now, as you know, by the conservative element of the Republican Party for, I think, quite legitimately refusing to seat a member, a new member, proposed by the Republicans on the Civil Rights Commission. Going then to Bessie Wash, going then to Valerie Van Isler, and now going to Utrecht Lee. Women who were forceful, assertive human beings, all of them forced out by that element here at the station, who, in my judgment, have to answer for why no... And incidentally, we're talking about a group of black women who were not out of a cookie cutter.
Right.
These are all individual personalities who took a very different approach to leadership. Every single one of them came under siege.
Despite
and eventually,
style.
Yes.
Right.
Essentially forced out. And no one ever had to answer for why that pattern was established and continued. The question was raised a number of times. We raised it on the air. And when you want to talk about people running and hiding... Bring up this issue. And when you see, and I think Paul very accurately pointed out this morning, where the line in the sand has now been drawn, this isn't the only issue. I mean, the people I've just mentioned, it goes broader and deeper than that. In terms of the question, perhaps in two parts. One, what is now the actual mission of this radio station? We cannot accept, it seems to me, that a mission established 50-some-odd years ago can still, unadorned, be in place now. I mean, this is, in a sense, Paul, like saying no one at BAI should drive an automobile manufactured since 1950. shouldn't wear clothing styles that don't go back. There you go.
They got that, but they needed the whole United States Empire to blockade the country for 40 years to
exactly.
get that.
Imagine this in this term. If you had a rule here at WBAI said that everything you wear, T-Dub, has to have been manufactured in style terms in 1949.
Right.
You couldn't wear anything else.
No changes.
Well, this is essentially the position people have taken about the mission. It's entirely inappropriate. It has to be updated. And incidentally, when I looked at a mission statement,
Didn't they run Lou Hill out of town over
No, actually.
He was fired.
I wouldn't say. I don't know that the term had been. Mm-hmm. He eventually committed suicide, as you know.
I see, yeah.
He had physical ailments.
He had very serious
physical ailments.
But the point on this, when you look at the mission statement, there were things that Lou Hill, visionary, I would accept that he was, could not possibly have foreseen.
Mm-hmm.
What could he have known about the 1990s,
exactly,
for example,
right,
now going
right
into the 21st century? So you can't look to him and say, well, okay, the mission in toto, as he wrote it, is what we have to pursue, which incidentally hasn't been happening anyhow.
Right, exactly, anyway. I mean, I would say if we were fulfilling our mission. To me, the basic fight has been over whether or not the programs will have to submit themselves to some judge of their effectiveness and whether they're serving the community. I don't want to draw people's names into this who aren't here, but I've had long discussions with people who are very familiar with BAI and Pacifica, and one person was very interesting. He said that, you know, look at the changes. I mean, the New York City, the demographics have changed. The listening demographics of this station have changed. And BAI, the number one purpose of WBAI, a public radio, is to serve its community. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is not serving its community if it's not recognizing the demographic changes. This is not the same city that existed in 1961 when Bob Fass came on work here.
Yeah.
All right? As respected as I am of Bob Fass, he would be the first one to admit that this is not the same city. In 1961, this was a primarily white European immigrant and second-generation American city of people who were up and coming and moving to the suburbs. And it was a very, very different post-war environment than we have now, where we've now gone through in the 80s and 90s, the time of greatest immigration in the entire history of the United States, when we have communities from every corner of the world, and in which our station, as of a year ago, was not even attempting to serve.
You know, Paul, I heard you say it earlier this morning, we fall in the same camp here, I believe in what I characterize as a pragmatic socialism. I very, very strongly in that. And pragmatic, it seems to me, also has to be malleable. You have to adjust to the adjustments being made in the society around you in order to maintain a political vision. And the horror of what has happened to so much of the so-called progressive left is that they have dug their heels into a kind of conservatism about their points of view.
Well, then they wind up
to the right of the rightist.
They wound up in front of a judge.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have. Can I read this? I mean, let's tell them. This is what it says.
All right, let's give them something to work with the callers, and then we'll take calls.
There's just one paragraph from this agreement that people should know exactly what they're facing, word for word.
I was going to read it.
Resolutions concerning all other issues may be adopted and made immediately effective by the vote of a majority of all the members of the interim board present and voting that include the aye vote of at least one person from each of the three groups that designated interim board members, majority, minority, and LAB appointees. Those are the local advisory boards, the minority being the dissidents, the majority being the Pacifica Foundation. Or the votes of two-thirds of all the members of this interim board. It's going to be in place for 15 months, this interim 15-member board. Any such resolution that receives the vote of a majority of all the members of the interim board present and voting, but without securing the aye vote of at least one person from each of the three groups that designated interim board members, or the vote of two-thirds of all the members of the interim board present and voting, and will be automatically referred to Judge Sabraw, that's his name, Judge Sabraw, California, within 2 days of the vote on such resolution, letter briefs of no more than 3 pages on behalf of the majority who voted to pass the resolution and of the group of which no members voted to pass the resolution shall be filed with Judge Sabraw and exchanged among the parties within 2 days thereafter, or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard and decided, Judge Sabra shall either affirm the resolution as submitted or reject the resolution.
It's a joke.
And remand the issue to the interim board. In support of their letter briefs, the parties may submit and exchange documentary evidence, but no other evidence will be presented or considered by the judge.
We get the point, Paul. If they don't, can you imagine this cantankerous group reaching a majority vote on any issue?
No,
the judge is going to be making all the decisions, as far as I can
the
see.
The judge is going to be running the radio
right.
station.
It's interesting, these self-proclaimed leftists, who I think
our new program director,
that's
Judge
a joke.
Sabra.
I know, right. They finally hired a program director.
We filled
director.
The spot.
I know, right. And, you know, obviously I think that the judge underestimates, or maybe fully estimates. I mean, this could be a government COINTELPRO operation to turn over Pacifica to the government. And I fear that our dissident group, headed by Amy and Juan Gonzalez, are the ones who handed over the Pacifica Network to the United States government.
Yeah. And, you know, the question, Paul, we had a brief discussion about this on Saturday. The question that I feel has still never been fully addressed is the question of how the local advisory boards come into being and who indeed they actually represent. Because, among other things, it would seem to me the people represented, let us talk about New York City, represented by WBAI's local advisory board, should be asked, have they seen the documents submitted in their name to this judge? I would tend to think not. Because if they're saying we represent the, as they mention in their documents, the listener sponsors, well, first of all, who are they? And what do they know about what is being done in their name?
No. Let's. We're going to take a minute.
Right.
We're going to take a minute because there are a lot of new people, as I opened up and said, who haven't got a clue about what we're talking about. Paul was reading from the agreement made between a dissident group of so-called listeners. Well, they are listeners. They're not supporters.
I don't think they're listeners. I think they're
whatever they are,
disgruntled former programmers and employers.
Right.
Employees.
That group. And the Pacifica National Board, and Paul was just reading from an agreement that was reached yesterday I actually just got it this morning. So there's a lot we don't know, listeners. We're going to try to talk with you about the things we do know.
Mm-hmm.
Eutrice Lead was the former station manager here. She was replaced by Robert Daughtry, who is our new station manager. The program director's position is still open. And Eutrice then moved on to become the national program director, and then she resigned from that position as of yesterday. And that's where we are. We have this agreement, and what we're telling you is that the agreement basically, it boils down to a Judge Sabrow making the final decision over issues that we cannot agree on with the dissidents. And basically, it's every issue, so that we now have probably, I hope he's a decent guy, a judge we don't know.
In California. So all you New Yorkers should understand there's a judge
in California,
Bay Area,
right,
who's going to be telling you what you should listen to on the radio.
All right.
Judge,
we
want to do
take another. I want to just take another break, let people get themselves together. It's 6:25 here. I'm here with my co-host, Clayton Riley, Paul DiRienzo from Let 'Em Talk, also known as Let 'Em
Have It,
is going to stick around. T-Dub is on the board, and she's the one who will be getting your calls through to us at 212-209-2900. You are listening to WBAI Radio, 99.5 FM, your Pacifica station in New York City. And don't forget to visit www.wbai.org. That's where you can go and support the great radio that you've been hearing. We'll be right back. This is Marjorie Moore. The show is Sunrise. It is 6:28 a.m. We're back. I'm here with my co-host Clayton Riley this morning and Paul DiRienzo and T-Dub, who is at the flight deck. Is that what you could call that thing? Guiding us into a smooth landing. I'll be here with you and the crew till 7:30, at which time Santiago Nieves comes up with WBAI this morning. We want to get to your calls, though. Please remember we do have some ground rules. One is that we talk to each other. If that's not screaming, and you tell me your name and where you're from, I like that. It's part of the show. So will you do that? And we'll try to be as straightforward with you as we can. When we don't know, we got to say we don't know. Okay? Here we go. WBAI, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello? Are you there? Caller? Good morning. Hello? We're moving through here. Good morning.
Hello?
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Ken from Spring Valley.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, I'm just calling to say I'm an executive director of a not-for-profit corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And the board does have a right to let go the management if that's what they decide to do.
Mm-hmm.
But this foolishness has been going on about the board, that it's not within the board's purview to discharge management. That's foolishness.
Who's saying that?
That's what the dissidents are saying.
Oh.
The dissidents have said that the board, the National Board, somehow didn't have the right or the power to fire Valerie and Bernard.
Oh, I'm always under the impression that
managers.
Boards do that.
Yeah,
I'm with you, Ken.
They're both managers.
Yeah.
You know, they and take it. I'm the. You know,
well, board
I'm in
can
the union,
fire
right?
Staff.
We're in AFTRA. We're in the union.
Yeah.
If they would have a harder time
where
firing you or me
to think that that can't happen.
I know.
It is the board's purview
right.
to make policy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For that. It is the executive director's responsibility for the day-to-day management, but policy is made by the board.
Absolutely.
All this stuff that's been going on since December of last year is pure foolishness.
All right, Ken.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the air. Hello? Are you there?
Yes, hi.
All right. Who's
this? This is Aaliyah.
Hi, Aaliyah.
Yes. You know, I'm quite dismayed about the news, but there must be some more challenges, positive challenges ahead. I wish Utrecht success because I think she had the courage to attempt to speak truth to power, and she stuck to her guns just to make a point that she was committed to truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if she'll have a chance to come on the air to share with us what her
Aaliyah?
Yeah.
If she doesn't do it, I'm going to drag her on. Yes, she will. Utrecht was always very clear.
Yes.
Very clear.
Mm-hmm. And not only was she clear, she shared techniques and strategies for the implementation of the truth.
Yes.
And she was not at all like those who abandoned the ship when the ship is in trouble.
Yes.
But to go, and I pray that Allah will be with all of you.
Thank you, Aaliyah.
Uh-huh. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is WBAI. Oh, you have to turn them down before they hang up, T-Dub. Good morning. You're on the air. Hello? Are you there? Caller? Go to the next one. Good morning. Are you there? Hello? Hello?
Yes, hello. This is Sister Flame from Queens.
Sister Flame?
Yes, from Queens.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Sorry to hear about the news about Utrecht. Sorry to hear about that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm calling in for something very vital right now. It's not dealing with your subject that you're talking about.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay. This is one of the solutions that can help right now with what's going on with your station and what's going on right now in the world. For women in the United States right now, we should start giving back the blood to the earth to stop all of this war and everything right now, because I'm also a student with the Shrine of Mayat, and I also sit under a lot of other spiritual teachers. And they have been talking about this for a long time now. You know, there are certain women that do give back blood to the earth to stop everything that's going on right now.
What do you mean by give back blood to the earth?
Giving back the blood, your the menstrual cycle blood.
Oh, all right. Thank you, Cora.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
All right.
That thought.
Right.
Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Yes.
My name is Alicia.
Alicia.
Alicia. A-L-E-T-H-I.
Hi.
I am so distressed. I'm going to miss you, Trace Lead. I always tell my friends I belong to the University of Utrecht. I don't think I could switch BAI. I have to find another station. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Listen, I know that
I'm very sorry.
Alicia, you will. She'll be around, and she'll be a presence on this air. I am certain of it. We won't let her go. We won't let her go.
Oh, my God.
And you listeners have to make sure that she doesn't get let go. We have to support her. And
well said.
And this has been so good to hear you, and I've never seen a picture of Clayton Riley, but just that voice.
Yeah.
Look
I
on
think
the,
he used to be on LIV.
LIV, look on the wall of your post
but
office.
But when I hear his voice, it does something. I'll get in the car. I can't describe his voice. I'm an old woman. I could be his mother probably. But and then you in the morning, but you, Trace Lead, nothing lasts forever, but I'm sort of distressed.
Yeah.
Oh, have a pleasant day.
All right.
A blessed day, and I'll be praying for her.
Good.
Stay in touch with us.
Yes, and keep listening. All right, this is WBAI at 6:35 a.m. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, who's this?
This is Carla from Fort Lee.
Hey, Carla.
I'm not really commenting on that. I just wanted to thank you for having Clayton Riley, who I really enjoy listening to.
Oh, great.
Who I had only heard for the first time during that whole big mess.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope you have him back a lot as a co-host.
I'm working on it.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Come in at this god-awful hour, but he's managing, and he doesn't look any worse for it either. But it's hell getting in here by 6, I got to tell you.
Well, I enjoy your show, but I think you two have a really good synergism that goes on that really enhances it.
Oh, great.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Paul wanted to say something. Yeah,
I just want to, I came across a web page, and I found that this web page is really a place where people who are disturbed by some of the things they're hearing and changes can actually find some information in order to make a change. There's the dissident board members' emails, and some of their phone numbers are up, and some interesting questions that should have been raised to the judge, I don't know if they were or not, are presented there. And that is at www.angelfire.com/jazz/slavename.
Do it slow. Angel Fire. One word.
One word. A-N-G-E-L-F-I-R-E
.com
/JAZZ /slavename.
All one word, slave name.
Right. And there you will find a list of the so-called dissident board members who voted for these, I think, disturbing changes, and their email addresses, so you can email them directly, their home and work phone numbers. Don't bother them at work. I'm not advising that, but you might want to register with them your disturbance, and you can, it's a source of information. I think it'll be, my understanding, it'll be constantly updated with new information and questions that should be asked.
All right, and we'll give it out a lot before we go off the air. Maybe throughout the day we should be doing it on the morning show as well.
Sure.
All right, good morning. You're on WBAI. Good morning to you. Hello. All right, let me give out the number again, 212-209-2900. I think what happens is people get cut off after 20 rings or something. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Leslie from Manhattan.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi. You, Trace Lee, is my hero, and I want to tell Robert Daughtry if he could bring her back to talk back. No offense to Hugh Hamilton.
Right.
And I agree with everything Paul DiRienzo said this morning.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you.
Are you a new listener, or
No. You've
been around?
Yeah, I've been around.
Where are you from, Leslie?
Manhattan.
Okay. Thank you for calling and registering that.
Thank you.
All righty. Good morning, WBAI. You're here with Paul DiRienzo and Clayton Riley, Marjorie Moore, and T-Dub on the board.
Good morning.
Hi there. Who's this?
This is the Yak calling.
Hi. You know, Jim, I swear to you, you won't believe this, But the first thing on my mind when I woke up this morning was, I haven't heard from Jim in a long time.
Well,
I was actually going to hunt you down.
Well, one of the things that I believe in, and that's giving other people an opportunity to call.
Yes.
You know, I can't, every time something comes up, you know, decide to pick up the phone, although I'd like to.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of new members out there. There are a lot of people that haven't called in. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people that want to find out new things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important to, if you've been around for a while, I think there are always times to listen. Listen to learn and learn to listen. That's mm-hmm. my philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to hear the news. Although, my gut feeling inside, number one, anybody that can bring in $1 million with the help of the staff to put forth that type of money is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, so you know doggone well that she's not going to be far, far away. You know, I just think that, you know, I've known you, Trees, for a long time, and she's always been someone that I've admired. It's almost like me listening to her talk and sitting at her feet.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's that's the type of inspiration she's been. She's always been honest as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Now, I just have a feeling that there's something good that's going to come out of this.
I
don't know what it is, but I have this feeling.
Mm-hmm. I felt happy today.
You know,
myself.
I just, and you know, when I first heard it, I got, you know, I felt bad, but I just, all of a sudden, I started to listen to my body and listen to myself, and all of a sudden, I just had this feeling that something good is going to come out of it. Eutrice is a warrior. Eutrice is a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say the other people that are sitting in there, the other people who've stood by her through all of this. That's like somebody going into battle and not knowing what the outcome is going to be, but knowing that she has an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's something that has to do with everyone at the station and the new members, along with the members that have not chosen BAI yet, along with the old members.
Mm-hmm.
Eutrice, she's powerful.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, yes. And you also, Marjorie. You mm-hmm. also. Clayton?
Yes, Jim.
I just want my cream, my vanilla cream,
your
my
egg,
brother.
Egg cream.
You know, my egg cream.
You got it.
You know, and one of the other things that you were talking about the other day, which I was sorry that I didn't get a chance to talk about, was the... I would like to know from all those professional movie stars out there, which I feel is something that, you know, should be talked about, do some of these jazz movies that have never been picked
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the old, you're talking about inventors,
mm-hmm.
my God. You know, one of the other things is that, you know, you got Tiger Woods running around there on a golf course. One of the important parts of playing golf is the tee, which was invented by a black man.
mm-hmm.
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
These are things that, as far as our community are concerned, that, you know, we never hear about. You know?
Jim, let me say this to you. We're going to get you down here one day, and I'm going to show you what a real egg cream is, man. Okay?
Right. Well, I like that. And,
All right.
And, Marjorie, the People's Institute,
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to let people know that the guy from, the guy who called the other day and said that you had mentioned something about Mr. Wise.
Yes.
It wasn't you. It was a caller.
Oh.
That
exactly.
had called in.
I see.
Yes. You didn't
true.
Say anything about
yes.
that.
I knew I didn't.
No.
Yeah.
And the People's Institute are setting up something here in New York. They're
mm-hmm.
setting up another outlet.
Great.
So there will be further information.
Okay.
Maybe we can get together and come on the air and show people how the People's Institute works.
Jim, would you kind of engineer that?
Sure.
As a producer?
Sure.
Okay.
I'd love doing that.
Oh.
I'd love doing that.
Well, then I'd appreciate that very much. And the work that they do is incredible.
Paul, you are doing a fantastic job.
I appreciate that.
Thank
you.
Ms. Moosey. And, you know, everyone, including the person who sweeps the floors.
Yeah.
The elevator operator. You can't forget you can't forget about anyone. One of the things that I really enjoyed about Muhammad Ali was that he never went on stage before he went back in the kitchen or back downstairs and shook the people who helped.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
Likewise.
And I have to add, too, that, you know, we were here yesterday afternoon. I was telling Clayton because, I left here about 2 yesterday. And Earl Caldwell and Jabel and who else was in there with us? Lambert Marksman and myself. And, you know, we were just kind of rumbling around in the office and sitting on the floor and laughing and talking and, we were trying to resolve some things. We had Gil Noble on the speakerphone at one point and, you know, just talking about the state of journalism for African Americans in this city right now. And we were just kind of, you know what, this is a great time to be involved. It's a great time to be here at WBAI. There is so much potential here for true liberation, true free speech, getting rid of I've always found the label so oppressive, and I'll tell you why. You know, when I first came here, I thought, these folks, they are really progressive, really progressive. Finally, I've come to a place where I don't have that hassle of fighting the system all the time. I have had the worst time fighting the system here. It was so bad under Valerie Van Isler that I left. I thought to myself, now I have worked in very, very conservative environments. I really have. I never had the struggle there that I had here. And part of it was that I listened to the words too much. The words are empty. It's what people do. And it's the thing that Utrice called conduct. That was her word for it. And when you watch the conduct, there was a serious dissonance between that and the words being used. And that is the kind of stuff that drives a little colored girl from Queens crazy, who's always busy trying to sort out her feelings anyway. And then when you come into an environment like that, where up is down and down is up, it's just so frustrating and so infuriating. You almost become impotent. Right. It's a way of decapitating you, taking your voice without taking your voice.
Well, maybe Valerie will come on one day and actually submit to being asked questions on the radio and to explain herself in a open and honest way, something she never did. She very rarely ever went on the air with a report to the listener. We never heard her. We heard Utrice more times when she was a station general manager than we ever heard in years, Valerie. And, Valerie was no fool. You know, people say crazy old Valerie and all this.
Paul, I don't want to focus on Valerie. The point I was trying to make is that I just want to make this point. I feel even with my politics and even I'll use the example of the right, the religious right, have stolen the language of spirituality, so you don't even want to say anything about it anymore because you're considered a nut freak. Because and I feel the progressive so-called left community here at BAI hijacked the language, and we can hardly use it.
They use the language to you see, whenever you're in a position of power, you're always, the fact that Utrice and the rest of us were here, that put us, in a sense, at an advantage. We have the microphone, but at a disadvantage because people's sympathies in American and American culture are always with the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
And these folks, the dissidents, were basically a bunch of professional victims who had made careers for themselves as representatives of or as professional victims themselves. That's where they got their litigious nature. We had people who would stub their their foot on the street and sue everybody as a career, you know, who I won't mention their names, who are involved with the dissidents. And they then have basically made a confederacy of dunces to attack this station based on trying to milk people's knee-jerk sympathy for the downtrodden, the fire, the you know. But in fact, I sat across with Eutrice Lead as the union rep. She was the station. She was the one of the what's the word I'm looking for? You know, not the union rep, but the unit
shop steward.
Sorry, she was one of the shop stewards. I sat across the table with Valerie many times with her. R. Paul Martin was there, and other folks who were in the union were there, and we knew what was going on. And I've heard from bookkeepers, and I know what's going on. Pacifica would often use WBAI, by far the biggest fundraising institution of the five Pacifica stations, as a cash cow to finance their little projects and to finance the other stations when they didn't make it. And the people in California were a bit spoiled at KPFA. They purposely would not want to put their listeners through, their loyal, longtime listeners in a small city like San Francisco, through long fundraising drives. They didn't like to do that. They wanted us to do it.
Paul, that is on one level. But I don't think that's what was happening. I mean, that was happening.
Yeah.
But that's not what's going on in regular people's lives. People want their problems solved. They want radio to contribute to that.
Right.
Uplift them. Give me information. Help me get through my day, especially poor people and black and brown people. The struggle to survive for most people, maybe not us in particular, but if you've been through it, you know what it's like. You want to hold back the day. Life can get so rough. These mothers who have their sons locked up and they can't do a damn thing about it. People who are no food to eat today. You know, there are people getting up in New York City with nothing to eat.
Right.
There are children who are not being educated. These are the things people need addressed. And this progressive, let me just make this point. What I saw happening here was they use that stuff for fodder, for self-promotion, and the actual assistance that people need is never met.
Marjorie, I think, I have to say, I think Paul's point is well taken in this respect. All of what you're suggesting begins with leadership. If you don't have someone setting the tone, and I mean, that's throughout the leadership core. The people who are making decisions, the people who are exercising authority, have to establish and maintain a certain tone at a radio station so that the delivery of the service you're talking about is consistent. You see, we can point to times when, we're delivering the service, and then 6 months go by and people say, well, you're not delivering it now.
Right.
And it's that kind of inconsistency, I think, that is most discouraging to people when you're not on top of the issues, when you're not addressing the specific needs of the listeners. And I think what Paul's suggestion is, many people here were addressing their own very personal needs, disregarding what the listeners needed to hear.
As editor of a magazine, when I left here for a couple of years and I edited two magazines, there's one thing I learned about a manager. A manager must defend an editor in an intellectual enterprise, whether a magazine or a radio station, must make their primary purpose the support and the promotion of the people underneath them.
Right.
And that is never in a million years what Valerie Venisler did. She was against doing that.
Marjorie, if I could say also that an organization I formerly worked for sent three of us to the American Management Association for 18 months for the specific purpose of studying and then implementing management in our work. And we walked into the classroom the first day, and the guy who was to be our instructor, mentor for this 18-month period, opened the session by saying, look, what I'm about to say to you is all that you will learn in the 18 months that you will be here. This is what I'm going to say to you. Understand that management is not about working. Management is about seeing that work gets done. And that means you have to, as a manager, leader, authority figure, delegate authority, delegate responsibility, create that structure in which everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when they are confused about it, then they go to the manager and say, where am I on this project now and how shall I carry it forward?
The question is, you facilitate the staff getting their job done
right.
as you delegate. You
right.
facilitate
right.
them. What do you need to get your job done? We've got so many people want to talk. You're
yes,
on the air.
Do.
Go ahead. Hello. You're
Good
on
morning.
The air. We're trying to get you in there.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm an old listener. I've been listening since the 70s.
Who are you?
And my name is Sarah, and I'm from Rockland County.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello. And, you know, it's real confusing out there for us poor old listeners. I mean, I really liked Amy's program. I liked Juan. I liked Bernard. I like you guys. You know what I mean? I would love to hear all of you really hash this out together. I would love to hear you and Bernard and Amy and you, Treese, and everyone kind of hash this thing out. Because we're told one thing, you know, there's the news group on 3 Pacifica or Pacifica Now or whatever it's called. And they say a lot of things. And, of course, you know, we listeners, we really don't know. And that's
right.
the problem because I'm trying to keep an open mind about the whole thing. And,
Sarah,
you know, I would like everybody to get along, right?
Sarah,
yeah.
I understand your sentiments. But listen, you know, I had occasion to say to someone yesterday, everything that you have read or heard about this situation, you have heard from one group of people. Because we have not launched an attack to defend ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We did not. You know what we did, Sarah? We knew if we were going to have a frequency in order to bring information to the people who need it, the listeners, that there was a small crew here under attack that had to work to produce programming to keep this station functioning. And all of our energy went into that. Some of us even got sick doing that. And we didn't have time to defend ourselves. Let me just tell you, Sarah, what we were up against was a huge propaganda campaign with money coming every. We just had our talent and our energy and our commitment to the station. And when we were under that attack, we also had to raise money to keep things going. We are just now beginning to tell our story. Sarah.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to hear it because what I heard was that there was a takeover, there was a lockdown, there were forcible means used, et cetera, et cetera. But, and which is very confusing to me.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I saw pictures, you know, and I saw a lot
yes,
of things.
Yes.
And that people are very upset about it.
Certain
and,
people in the dissident community knew for years before any of this happened that they wouldn't have a chance to defend their shows because their shows had no audiences and made no money, but they wanted to hear themselves on the air talking. So starting years ago, they started planning for this eventuality, and they were ready to go when it happened.
Sarah, if I could also address the matter of what has been called the lockdown, the Christmas coup, and all the rest of that. I will say this to you, and let me be as blunt as I can. I bear witness to some of the events, in fact, to most of the events that led to the dismissal, we call it the banning or the firing, whatever terminology people feel is appropriate to use. I was witness to some of the things that led to the dismissal of people. And the dissident community has never come forth and been honest about those events. People were discharged for cause. And it seems to me that if you feel you have been inappropriately discharged, the first thing I'd be on the phone to Johnny Cochran myself.
Absolutely, yeah.
And none of them ever sued. Instead, they followed this plan that had been put into motion years ago for just this eventuality. They knew that they couldn't defend their shows on the basis of the quality of the work they were doing because they had no audiences. And they would see the Arbitrons and they would scream that Arbitrons don't matter. It's important we have to have a show even though nobody listens to it that reflects this and reflects that. And you might have been, as a longtime listener, a fan of a certain show or not, but if you saw the Arbitrons, if you saw the only statistics we have, how much money they raised, you would see that these shows had no audience.
What about Democracy Now? That certainly had a very large audience.
And that was could have considered and would be still on the air. You know, I'm afraid to say that this entire story about the so-called hostile work environment and the incident that happened between Amy and Utrice was
right.
absolutely fabricated by Amy. It is really sad, but Amy felt that the ends justify the means, and she lied, and she undermined her own credibility, and she's creating a circumstance where I think, personally, as Paul DiRienzo, that Amy has destroyed her career.
Sarah, you know, on that same point, I would add that in a single day, out of a series of events that will, for most people, still remain questionable, Amy Goodman accused not only Eutrice Leed, but Sydney Smith and Marjorie Moore of assaults that did not take place. They simply did not happen, and there are people here who can bear witness and testimony to that. And I think Paul's point is that a poisoning
of
the stream.
By the way.
Yeah,
every person, a person of color, and Amy and her whole staff are all
right.
White people.
I'm glad you added that, Paul. But these were the events that poisoned the stream here and created divisions that never should have occurred, and not only created them, but served in the aftermath by certain other actions to exacerbate those divisions.
All right, let's take another caller.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
This is WBAI. We're at 99.5 FM. We are a Pacifica station here in New York City, and you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Who is this?
This is Brother Sam.
Hello, Brother Sam.
All right. I'm on my way out of here. I'm at the skating rink over in Port Washington.
Okay.
I just like to say something.
Yes.
First of all, Eutrice Leed, she went to big and better things. In other words, she's the director of
She resigned.
She resigned?
Yes.
From the whole thing?
Yes. Yesterday.
Fine.
Well, we don't know yet.
Okay. Well, all I want
to
say
is... let me say this. She resigned, as far as I know, in absolutely good graces.
Yes.
With a good report card and...
And it was her choice.
Yeah.
Her call.
Yes.
Okay, I just want to say one thing about Eutrice. I've been following Eutrice.